You ready for some coffee, honey?
Absolutely.
I'll pour.
Great coffee. I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli.
And I'm Linda Martinelli.
And we are Talking
While Married.
Well, tonight, I'd like to start off our coffee conversation in talking about this very critical report that just surfaced with regards to Governor Cuomo and the COVID problems that he's been having in the state of New York, and also the disingenuousness of his administration and him personally in the way that they reported previously the number of elderly COVID deaths that they had in the nursing homes.
Yeah, that's coming out and getting talked about quite a bit. And, you know, I think that people knew that it was worse than what they said, but nobody had any hard facts about it. And of course, the media really covered up with him. So nobody pressed. I mean, our media doesn't do their job and push these issues and find out the real truth anymore. So the story that they're telling now is that deaths, I think it was over 10,000 more. And I think it's actually the number is higher than that from what I'm hearing, that they're blaming somewhat President Trump for this, saying that, oh, he was trying to make it sound like, you know, we had all these deaths in New York. Well, you did.
Well, you know what first attracted me to this, and we're going back into last year, and what attracted me was Janice Dean, who is the weather gal on Fox News, and I like her. You know, she's a little
kooky,
yeah,
which is good.
That's a great way. But you know what? You can tell that she's very honest. She's very sincere. She's got a great heart. But she had tragedy in her own family where elderly parents,
her husband's both parents
died.
Yes.
In New York. Okay. So she was out on a personal quest to find the truth. And she was telling people, as were other people in these different stories that Fox News and One American News and other conservative networks have covered, that the deaths were suspected to be far higher than they really were being reported by Governor Cuomo and his administration. So as it turns out, his secretary, Melissa DeRosa, was forced to report that instead of having a little over 5,000 COVID elderly deaths from nursing homes, the actual number, and I agree with you, that number is going to climb, but they reported just this past week, 10,049 deaths. And people need to put that in context because Governor Cuomo, why did this happen? Why did it happen? Governor Cuomo had ordered that elderly COVID infected patients that went to hospital were to be returned back to their original nursing homes. And of course, what we now know happened from tracking is that they infected other people.
And I just want to correct one thing. It's not that they were ordered to go back to their nursing homes. People that were in the hospital that were elderly were ordered to go to nursing homes, whether they'd been in one or not.
Oh, no,
so
thank you. Yes.
For recuperation purposes.
Correct.
And
so,
in the
so
meantime,
corrected. So corrected.
They passed it along to the staff and to just a slew of other elderly people in the nursing homes.
Okay, so the lying is the one issue I have, okay? So they vastly underreported the amount of elderly COVID deaths that they had. That's number one. But this disingenuousness continues because at the same time, when that first surfaced, it attracted the immediate attention of the New York legislature and the United States Department of Justice. And so USDOJ presented Cuomo and his administration and his Department of Health Services with what we refer to in legal circles as a request for production of documents, right? So basically, they subpoenaed all of the medical documents and the tracking figures that the state of New York had. Now, the state of New York legislature had also requested that same information, although not through a legal means, right? Because of the legislature, they can ask the governor for anything they want, but the United States Department of Justice, being a federal agency, has to go through a formal civil process of discovery. And that's where the RPD, or Request for Production of Documents, comes from. So look at what they did. And I want to go back on what, come back to DeRosa, because she's a just basically a lion snake, and on behalf of Cuomo. And so they complied. It took them a long time to do it, but they, because they're stalling for time, right?
Sure.
But they complied ultimately with DOJ's request for production of documents. And that's where we find this huge increase in elderly COVID deaths. But at the same time, they never gave that information to their own legislature. So I want to talk about, and I don't want to monopolize the time, but I want to give people some, you know, I want to set the table here. And so DeRosa comes back, and when she's asked, well, why didn't you give that information to the New York legislature? Because now they're extremely angry that they were left out of the loop. And she said, and it's all doublespeak, she said, well, we were so involved with trying to comply with US DOJ's request for production of documents. And in the spirit of transparency, we wanted to make sure that we had given them first dibs on all that information. And they totally left the New York legislature out of the loop until just this last week, Linda. And now they're coming back and they're saying, so you know what? Let's just simplify this whole thing for a minute. You sent all of those documents by email. You put them in a Dropbox, you put them in a secure file, whatever you did. And we do this all the time, you know, in forensic investigations. We have tons of information and we use these different, you know, cyber protected, you know, file sending systems. At the same time that you sent all of that information to US DOJ, knowing that the New York legislature was demanding that information as well, why didn't you just copy the legislature on all of that information?
Well, I'll tell you why. The reason is because as Rich, as a party, as, who's a Cuomo advisor, senior Cuomo advisor said, they felt that the Trump administration, who of course everything gets blamed on, was in the midst of a politically motivated effort to blame Democrats for COVID-related deaths. So they didn't want to give them the information, Ron, because then President Trump might rightfully blame them for the COVID deaths.
Right. It would have supported what Trump was saying
sure.
all along.
So again, everything goes back to Democrats trying to usurp the President of the United States in every which way. And they didn't want it to come back to them. Additionally, I still have to bring in, I mean, this is totally New York's fault. Cuomo, his assistants, his secretaries.
His Department of Health Services, his medical staff.
Everything comes from him because he is the leader. And if he demanded that they give them the proper information, the true information, and in a timely manner, none of this would happen. So obviously this came from him. But you cannot disregard the fact that these kinds of situations continue to happen under Democrat-run governments. And this is not happening under Republican governments. Of course, Republican states didn't have this situation because it's common sense that you don't put COVID-infected people into nursing homes.
Yeah, you know, if people take a look around the United States, they will see that the way that Republicans handle this COVID epidemic, by and large, is quite different than the way that Democrat states and governors and mayors handle the COVID epidemic. But let me circle back around to the President Trump issue, because they totally, no matter what happens in New York, and this is not uncommon with other states and other cities, they don't take ownership of their mistakes. What they do is they circle the wagons and they assign blame rather than accept responsibility.
Yes.
And people need to remember that when this New York first reported their outbreaks, and it looked like it was going to be pretty serious, President Trump was the one that said, we will give you whatever you need.
And he
they
did.
They gave them thousands of ventilators. Do you remember?
Yes.
You don't hear that term very often anymore, because there's so many ventilators out there now that the United States has produced. But if you remember going back, Trump did a couple of things. Number one, he said, I'm going to open the books to you. You can have whatever you want. And so thousands of ventilators were immediately sent to New York. But if you remember, one of the two gigantic United States Navy hospital ships, I'm sure there's more than two, but the two that I remember is the Hope and the Mercy. Now, one, and I don't remember the names, I mean, who's parked where, but one is docked in San Diego, because we used to see it all the time, and the other one is docked in like Newport News or something. And they sent that gigantic hospital ship and parked it in New York Harbor. And I think, I could be wrong, but I remember there was like less than 100, and it was set for thousands of people, of patients, and it was used by, what, less than 100 people?
Well, and it was misused at that, because if you remember, there was a part of the ship that was supposed to be for cases of people that were, you know, had different things, like maybe they'd been in a car accident, or maybe they needed surgery, that type of thing.
To free up the hospitals.
To free up the hospitals.
Right.
But then later, he changed it to let COVID patients in there, and then they got mixed up with the people that they weren't supposed to be mixed up with,
and
that
was infected other
that
people.
Was a mess too. This was so mismanaged by Governor Cuomo. And what's interesting to me, just on the political side, besides being total obstruction of justice, that the deaths of the people just can never be replaced. And people like Janice Dean, who are brokenhearted because she was not even allowed to see her parents before they passed. You know, you can't ever fix that. But the thing that also is striking to me, besides the illegality, the obstruction of justice, the stupidity, the disregard for human life that happened in New York, that the media was complicit. His brother was extremely complicit. And
who's a CNN commentator,
right,
has his own show.
And at the time, you know, he had his brother on all the time and everything was great. And they're laughing and giggling on TV.
And Cuomo, meaning the elder, mm-hmm. the governor, had written a book. So now he's a real popular author.
Oh, and he got an Emmy for his performances, too.
Okay. On the progressive left, they love this guy. Why they love this guy, I don't know. But you're exactly right. The progressive left media completely covered for Cuomo.
But now they have nothing to say. And that's what really bothers me. Chris Cuomo didn't even address this on his show. And, you know, the media is not making a big deal about it. It takes conservative media, which the left is trying to get rid of desperately so that you don't hear these kinds of stories. It takes the conservative media to bring these stories out.
Well, you know, let me leave that part of the topic of our conversation right now. But let me continue with the COVID thing, because, you know, as our friends and our listeners know, you know, we live in Texas, and Texas is running things under Governor Abbott, runs things a lot different than, you know, Governor Cuomo does, or Gavin Newsom does in California, Ron DeSantis, who's the governor in Florida, runs things totally different, more like Texas. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, we've had our closures, we've done our different things, but, you know, here's the difference, and we see it every single day living in Texas. Our restaurants are open.
Mm-hmm.
Our bars are open. Now, we're doing the mask thing, we're doing the social distancing, but our places are open. And what's very gratifying, and I would say, if not all of Texas, the majority of Texas, our schools are open.
Yes.
So our kids are going to school. I mean, when I drive to work and when I come home, I see school buses and there are kids on the school buses, and I see the kids walking to school because I actually pass one of our high schools, you know, going to work, and those kids are going to school. We are now, they were originally closed, but once we followed the science and looked at the tracking numbers, our governor, Abbott, opened up our schools, and we have a totally different environment than you see in New York City, in New York, in California, in Chicago, Illinois, and those different Democrat-run states and cities.
Right. Well, and the other governments, the Democratic states, the ones that you mentioned, California, New York especially, but there are more, that things are still very, very much closed down and they're not following the science, and it hasn't helped their COVID numbers at all. So it didn't make a difference, yet you put all these people out of work for such a very long time, and you have really destroyed their jobs, ever having a chance of coming to their back to their jobs in many cases. Kids are still out of school, which is harming them in so many ways that we've talked about. But the mismanagement and the politicization of this whole COVID thing has been, to me, even more frustrating than the disease itself, because the percentage of people that die from COVID, I mean, truly die from COVID, because I don't think we have those real numbers.
Are you putting in with no comorbidities?
I'm or
are you including comorbidities?
I'm talking about the people that truly die.
Were the cause of death.
Just because they had that disease. That number is just a small percentage. So that means that 90 plus percent are getting over it and moving on with life. And yet people are still closed down in so many states, still in California, which is rampant with COVID. So people are still closed down. And in Texas, we are open, have been open, schools are open, like you say, businesses are open. We can really go to any business that we would desire to go to, and it's open. And we don't have the numbers that say California does.
Yeah. Well, what I want to, mention, and even in Texas, okay, so throughout the United States, there are some kooky rules, right?
Yeah.
There are. And I think everybody is going to kind of agree, and I can probably see you over the radio smiling out there. But one of the things that gets me is like when we go to a restaurant. So we go to a restaurant, we put the mask on to go into the restaurant. We talk to the hostess, table for two, please. No problem. Some of them pull up the, the thermal thermometer. They get a test run on us and clear us. And then they'll direct us to a table. Let's just say it's 60 feet away. We sit down at the table and we get to take our mask off. So my question to you and our friends and listeners is, where is the physical barrier that I passed where I went from unsafe to safe?
I know.
You know what I'm talking about there?
It's crazy.
What? And yet the person who's the server comes up to me and they're wearing a mask, but you and I and everybody else, we're seated at our tables and nobody's wearing a mask. Where is the invisible physical barrier where we went from not safe to safe? Anyway, you ponder that and I'm going to get you our first cup of coffee.
Fellow Americans, you've watched for decades as radical Marxists have systematically taken over some of our nation's most cherished institutions. And like us, we're pretty sure you're not happy about any of it. But this is the America we now find ourselves in. AmericaOutloud.com is fighting back with one of the fastest growing conservative media networks in the world, featuring some of the nation's most influential experts and commentators. It is a fight for the soul of humanity. America Out Loud Talk Radio is the voice of liberty and justice for all.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ron Martinelli, forensic criminologist, death investigator, and host of A Thread of Evidence on America Out Loud. Are you a fan of CSI shows and documentaries? Are you fascinated with how death investigators like me solve high-profile death cases like you see on the news? If so, then I encourage you to join me as I unpack some of the most high-profile police and civilian-involved death cases in my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement, and the war on police. Read all about the forensic evidence you never heard on the evening news. You can get a copy of my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter Movement and the War on Police, today by ordering it on my forensic site at www.dronmartinelli.com. DRRONMartinelli.com. And remember, without truth, there is no justice.
Well, speaking of economy, Ron, during this time of COVID, as we've been talking about, with Texas being open, the economy in Texas is actually booming. We are going straight up, and we're not suffering like many of the other states are that are shut down. And that's because our people are working, therefore they're still paying taxes on their money, and you know, there's money as normal coming in and going out. I want to compare that to what's happening in, say, California. In California, we have had that state closed for just about a year. And what they found is that the unemployment money that has been given out has been, there has been billions of dollars. Now they say anywhere from a low of $11.4 billion in fraudulent payouts. That's your tax money. That's your money that you have paid in to unemployment. Both you as an employee and we as employers, right? So we have paid that money in, and they have fraudulently given it to people on death row, have received hundreds of thousands of dollars of unemployment money, people in prisons, people in other countries that don't even live or work in the United States. And the high that they say it could be as high as $31 billion. That money is going to have to be replaced from somewhere. And what I want to know is, how could people in our state governments be so completely inept as to allow this to happen?
Well, you and I both work with governments from time to time as vendors. And of course, you and I being, you know, politically engaged, we have opportunities to talk with, you know, state assembly people, legislators, when we lived in California. And we both know that when you allow a government, I don't care if it's a municipal, state, or federal government, generally speaking, by and large, when you allow them to control economic resources, you're in big trouble, because they can't even balance their own checkbook, let alone spend your money wisely. You know, you go back to California that you mentioned. Look at the famous bullet train to nowhere that they've spent, I mean, tens of billions of dollars on. And there was just an article recently about it. They're trying to get it kicked back up again, you know, shovel-ready job. And it's torn a swath of destruction, environmental destruction. I mean, you want to talk about a carbon footprint. Let's not even talk about carbon. Let's talk about a swath of destruction through the Central Valley of California that is now abandoned. And you ruined small towns, you ruined farms, you ruined ranches all along the way to build this ridiculous bullet train that goes from Bakersfield to Chowchilla, I think it is. Okay. And the only thing I picture on there are farm workers, you know, carrying crates of chickens on this, you know, moving from Bakersfield to Chowchilla. Okay. I mean, that's just one example. This whole, you know, COVID mismanagement thing is another, the economic mismanagement, and the hundreds of businesses that are leaving California. And some of these are very, very
thousands
big businesses.
Sure.
Okay, Oracle has left, Tesla has left. There's Samsung is talking mm-hmm. about leaving. There's some huge
Disney corporate offices are talking
right.
about leaving.
And they're going to places like where are they going? They're going to Texas, they're going to Florida, mm-hmm. and I think another big one is going to North Carolina. But that's the difference. Now, other states are run properly.
Well, and they are. But what disturbs me about this story about unemployment, because I'm somebody that has a business in California, is I've had employees who righteously have had a very hard time getting their unemployment, yet they have paid $810 million to people that were in prison. They have paid millions of dollars to people outside the country. They have no vetting system for the addresses where they're sending the money to.
And this is California,
California.
Correct.
So they have wasted so much of this precious money that, you know, over years and years and years, a company like mine and like thousands of others who has not had any unemployment claims and, you know, who doesn't hire and fire people willy-nilly, our money has been collecting in there because it gets paid every single payroll, and they just threw it away. And it's astounding to me, the incompetency in federal and state governments. And this situation is one, how do you prevent this? Well, first of all, you need to vote properly. And it's not about how good looking somebody is or how well they talk. It's about what kind of management skills they have, because don't forget that people that you vote for are going to be managing something, departments, other people. They need to know how to do that. And I don't think that people that vote consider that enough. And I want to talk about another California fiasco, which I think is almost even worse than that one. And of course, you've got the bullet train. But, you know, Gavin Newsom spent $1 billion on buying masks and PPE from very, very unvetted companies. He made a $1 billion deal with a Chinese company for respirators that actually didn't end up showing up. He got a quarter of that money back, a quarter of that money. He had a failed $800 million deal with a company called Bear Mountain Development that was run by a former Alabama attorney general, Troy King. The deal disintegrated after they failed to deliver.
So what happens to the money, Linda?
Well, I don't know what happens to the money. And the thing is that Gavin Newsom has not been forthcoming on any of these deals or any of the money. He had another deal, $8.75 million, with a Brazilian company, and that collapsed too. The state did get his money back on that. But the $1 billion deal, which he refused to disclose the details of and refused to talk about, is really sad. They also gave a huge amount of money to a company that was 3 days old. I mean, does that not just smack of fraud? Why don't our people that we elect and put into these positions have more responsibility to how they waste our money? Take these three things, Ron. Take up to $31 billion in unemployment. How much for the train?
Oh, it's been a couple of score billion.
And well over $1 billion, probably $2 billion on these failed PPE deals that were made by Gavin Newsom. We don't know because he won't disclose the information. Look at the money that you are paying in taxes in your state of California and look what's happening to it. You might as well just take that money and flush it down the toilet, because that's exactly what's happening to it.
Well, you know, you raised a really good, interesting subject here with regards to Gavin Newsom. So here's a guy, and Nancy Pelosi's nephew, right? So, you know, there's some contact there, right? Connect the dots. But here's a guy that looks pretty good. He's a handsome guy. He's young. He's energetic. He's motivated. He's certainly a pretty good speaker. I don't think he's a great speaker, but he's a pretty good speaker. And so visually, he's appealing. And he's absolutely to the far left of the progressive left. And he's been the governor there for a few years, and he's up for recall. They just reached the level, I think it's 1.5 million votes, or on a petition, not votes, but signatures on a petition to get him recalled. And so people of the state of California have a wonderful and very unique opportunity to remove a guy that's clearly an imbecile. He is clearly incompetent. And all of what he's done to California, and Linda, what you're talking about under his administration, and people should know that all of California is controlled by Democrats. Okay, the legislature is the supermajority, and then they get the governor who's a Democrat. And so Republicans are stymied and obstructed. They can't get anything accomplished. But this guy has taken this state into a severe nosedive that they, I don't think, are going to be able to recover from. Then they have an opportunity to recall him. And the test of Californians is going to be whether you stay on the left for the rest, for forever, or whether you pull out of that tailspin, that nosedive, and save your own state, is whether the common sense conservatives, Republicans, moderate Democrats, I mean, I dare say even liberals, will take a look at behavior and the realities and the facts and vote this guy out of office instead of saying, well, he's a Democrat. We need to have Democrats in control of California. That's going to be a real test. And I'm going to be watching it because I find it extremely interesting, both of us being escapees from California.
Well, I want to give you an example of a well-run state. And I hate to keep bragging about Texas. We just happen to live here, but we're extremely lucky that we live here. In Texas, during this entire, you know, COVID shutdown, the country has suffered a great deal. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. And by the way, I mean, full disclosure, we're going to be suffering now in Texas in our energy industry. You know, they shut down our Keystone pipeline, and we're changing who we're going to get oil from. And that's going to put tens of thousands of Texans out of work.
Well, but here's the good news in Texas, and I wasn't going to talk about this, but just to mention it, is that the top 10 jobs in Texas are not in energy any longer. The Governor Abbott has diversified the state because of what happened under the Obama administration and how much the state was hurt.
Exactly.
And so now when this comes full circle and Joe Biden does the same thing, he's prepared for it. So I want to tell you that the Texas workforce grew by 8,604 people during this last year. During the same period, Florida lost 275,674 workers. New York lost 427,018 workers. And California lost 523,317 workers. Texas is the state that grew, and their economy is booming, where the other states are really, really struggling. And as they look to do things like raise the minimum wage now, you're going to see that even more.
You know, and let me also say that it is a wonderful partnership between Governor Greg Abbott and our Attorney General Ken Paxton, and also our own legislatures. Okay, we are just blessed to have some very knowledgeable people that work in Texas to keep the country or the state running properly.
Well, as you said, I believe they've hit that threshold for signatures to at least affect a recall effort against Gavin Newsom. And I mean, California, that what the stats say at this time is that it's not going to succeed on the vote. And why would that be? It's because of uninformed voters. It's because of voter fraud, because California was the first state that went to all mail-in voting.
Right. And huge mistake.
And that leads to lots of voter fraud. And then you have Joe Biden, who backs Gavin Newsom. Why would you back somebody who so completely managed their state? The people in California need to take this into their own hands, and they need to vote him out of office. You cannot ratify the behavior of somebody like Gavin Newsom and the money that he basically stole from every person, every working person in California?
You know, we are off to say, and when I write about California, I refer to it as Calisuela, because it has really become a socialist model in a first world country of the United States. But I have to tell you that if people are paying, I think you almost have to be from California to really understand this. There is a significantly diminishing middle class in the state of California. And what is happening in California with the significant amount of illegal immigration into that state is that you have a two-tiered, you are approaching, quickly approaching a two-tiered society where you have the rich and you've got the impoverished. And people need to understand that 51% of all the people in Calisuela are on some form of government subsistence. And that was one of the tipping points for us, Linda, when we decided that we were going to leave the state of California and move to Texas. Because when 51% are on government subsistence, they are always going to vote for more government subsistence. And as all these businesses are closing down, and businesses by the hundreds are moving out of California, that tax base is going to drop. Now, the people that are very rich can afford it. So when you've got, you know, these uber liberal progressive left people in the entertainment industry, for instance, or in social media, you know, the Facebook CEOs, the Amazon CEOs, the Twitter CEOs, the billionaires, the multimillionaires, they can afford it. I mean, it's not even a drop in the bucket. It's not even on their radar screen that their taxes are going to be increased. But the middle class people, they feel it. They feel it right away. They're pinching pennies. They're working extra jobs. And the very poor feel it too. Because whether you're a multimillionaire or whether you're impoverished, you're still going to pay the same money for gas and goods and services.
Well, and I want to make sure that people know that as they were laid off and they received unemployment, that money is taxable. So when you file your income tax this year, you will be paying income tax on having received the unemployment money.
I did not know that.
I think many people did not know that or expect it. So if you have not put money aside from the pitiful amount that you received, you're going to be hit with a tax bill for it. So, you know, the people are not through the woods on this whole, the consequences that have been caused by poor management of our states during this COVID time. You know, we in Texas are fortunate, but that's not the case in every state. So people need to be aware. And, you know, it's just a thing, Ron, with me that people need to really, really understand and vet who they're voting for. It's not a red and blue issue. It's your lifestyle issue.
Boy, I think that's a wonderful point that you've raised. Yeah, people have to stop looking at the politics and being emotionally engaged in the politics. You have to think about yourselves and your families and how you're going to make it through these very stressful times that are coming up. How about our last cup of coffee?
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list. And they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Well, the race for New York's 22nd Congressional District really took quite a long time to resolve. And finally, the winner was Republican Representative Claudia Tenney. And Claudia was being sworn in, and she wanted her Marine son to be at that event. And Nancy Pelosi denied it, even though the month before, when other people were sworn in, their family members could be present.
Yeah, that's pretty disgraceful. And it just shows the vindictiveness now that they've won of the progressive left. And, you know, Claudia Tenney represents the 22nd district of the state of New York. And she was previously a congresswoman there, and then she lost to the Democrat. Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, in a very, very tight race where, you know, the votes were being counted, they were being recounted, there was court stuff going on backwards and forwards, she finally won her election. And I'm sure that some of our friends and listeners have been to the United States Congress chambers, you know, the House chambers, and seeing how big that is, especially the gallery. And the gallery itself seats hundreds of people. And of course, it's not on the floor. And so having one person way up in the gallery, I mean, what the heck? And
by the way, he's serving our country in the Marines.
And a United States Naval Academy graduate. The creme de la creme of the elite, and like you said, active military, and there is no response from Pelosi and no reason for not letting Claudia Tenney's son attend was given by her.
Well, not by her, no. And they're saying, well, it was COVID protocols. Well, he follows COVID protocols in the Marine Corps, and the other people who were sworn in earlier were allowed to have their family members there. This is part of this cancel culture. This is despicable, disgraceful behavior on the part of Nancy Pelosi. This is a single mom who raised that young man to be the man that he is, which I so admire. And she was not allowed to have her son there. There's no excuse. And to me, this is an evilness that is permeating Washington, D.C.
And because he is active military and he's a United States Naval Academy graduate, which means for our friends and listeners, the United States government gave him a full ride because the Naval Academy is a university, right? You come out of there with a four-year degree, but it is paid for by the taxpayers of the United States of America. And so what better representative could you have to be in the gallery to watch the time-honored tradition of watching a congressional representative being sworn in, where you, as the Academy graduate and a Marine, represent the United States of America? I just don't get it.
I promise you, if the Democrat had won, their family member would have been allowed to be there regardless of the rules, because Nancy makes rules like not walking in through certain doors and going through metal detectors, and she doesn't obey them herself. So everything is not equitable here. And I just feel very badly for Claudia Tenney.
And the thing that keeps hitting, and it should hit Americans in the face time and time again, is look at all the politicization of what is happening in the United States of America. We are getting, you know, hit left and right by COVID. We just finished talking about this, Linda. And businesses are being devastated. Families are being devastated. People are dying. Families can't see each other in the hospital. You know, we lost 9 million. We were talking about the economy. You're our economy expert here on Talking While Married. And we just, you know, and I think recently we had a coffee conversation where I did some stats and found that last year we lost 9 million businesses in the United States that were COVID related. Okay. And meaning because of COVID, you know, shutting them down and all of that other stuff. And they still continue to politicize what is happening, even to the point of vindictiveness, where Nancy Pelosi denies Representative Claudia Tenney an opportunity to have a family member there. Let's stay on this topic of the cancel culture, and let's talk about what recently happened to actress Gina Carano. And I don't know if people know who Gina Carano is. She's very energetic. She's 38 years old. And if you follow the Disney series, the Star Wars series by Lucasfilms, and also produced by Disney, it's called The Mandalorian. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she's been a key figure in this sci-fi series for years. They just candor. Lucasfilms just candor. Why did they get rid of her? You know, their comment was she is no longer employed by Lucasfilms. You got terminated. Why? Because she has posted comparing what is going on in government in the United States of America and in politics and through social media and all of the stuff that you and I talk about every night on Talking While Married, compared that to what happened during the 20s and the 30s and 40s during the Nazi regime, the National Socialist Workers' Party, Adolf Hitler, Joseph Goebbels, you know, all of these guys, these Nazis, and what happened during those times. And you know what? I'm sure glad I don't work for Lucasfilms, because I would have been canned for sure. If anybody has read, and I encourage them to get on the platform at AmericaOutloud.com and read my recent article entitled The Rise of Neo-National Socialism in America.
Well, and it is the cancel culture, Ron, because it's not just Gina Carano. Yeah, it's not just her. Mnuchin's wife is also an actress, and she has been having a hard time getting parts because of her relationship in the administration with her husband being in the Trump administration. So it is definitely the cancel culture. I mean, people are canceling everybody and anything that has to do with, you know, conservative thought.
You know, I want to mention, and some of these actors and actresses that are getting canceled and losing show opportunities and wonderful series are fairly well-known actors.
Sure.
Okay. One of my all-time favorite actors, and he's a personal hero to me, is Tom Selleck. He just had his series Blue Bloods, which has been on for, I guess, almost 10 seasons, canceled.
Oh, yeah, that's tragic.
And that's absolutely horrible.
It's a great series.
Oh, it absolutely is.
But this is happening all over. And, you know, if you are on the left, I want to know, does this sound right to you? I mean, are you in agreement with this, that this is what should be happening to half of America? Because half of America voted for President Trump. I personally believe that more than half of America voted for President Trump. And you just cannot cancel half the people and their beliefs in America. The cancel culture is out of control. And, you know, here's a little thing. I don't know if you'd call it the cancel culture, but I think it's the cancel culture for mathematics. And we've talked about this before, but it's going even further now. Where in Oregon, the Department of Education, they wanted to encourage teachers to register for training that encourages ethnomathematics. So ethnomathematics argues that white supremacy manifests itself in the focus on finding the right answer. So we shouldn't be worried about finding the right answer in mathematics anymore, because if you're looking for the right answer, that's white supremacy. I mean, I don't even understand how these people think, Ron. How will you build a house? How will you build a factory? How will you build an airplane, a spaceship, and anything, a car, if you cannot do mathematics and you think that getting the right answer in math is white supremacist?
Well, you know, I recently saw a news story, and I believe it was on One American News, and you know, for our friends and listeners, you may know that I appear on One America News quite frequently as a guest expert. And I was watching One America News the other night, and they talked about how some segments, as a matter of fact, it was, I think, an article from the New York Times, a writer for the New York Times suggested that we should no longer read the classics in school,
right,
from,
yes,
Plato and Socrates, Greek, very famous Greek philosophers, because their philosophies and their writings were inherently racist.
Well, I mean, according to some people, everything is racist. This educational system, which has an agreement, a partnership between California San Mateo County Office of Education and the Education Trust West people, and also this whole thing is in Oregon, they have decided, Ron, that the concept of mathematics being purely objective is unequivocally false, and teaching it is even much less so. So upholding the idea that there are always right and wrong answers perpetuates objectivity as well as fear of open conflict. What are they talking about?
I'm going to tell you.
Two and two is four, no matter how you look at it.
No, Linda. I'm so glad that you brought this up, because I did not know about this topic. But let me tell you, when you're saying it doesn't make any sense, it makes sense to me in this. You remember when I wrote my best-selling book, The Truth Behind the Black Lives Matter and the War on Police, what did I write about? The false narratives. The false narratives. Michael Brown, hands up, don't shoot, never happened. We talk about, police officers and the disproportionate number of black males that police officers kill every year, total hogwash, all of these things. These are forensic facts. They're objective facts. What you're talking about in mathematics is an objective fact. But what the progressive left and the new neo-national socialists and anarchists and Marxists in this country want Americans to do is not pay any more attention to objective facts. They want to create their own narrative, and those narratives are false. And if you present an objective fact, you're a racist.
So picture this. You're taking a math class in an Oregon school, and your workbook is called Dismantling Racism. Now, how much sense does that make?
How does dismantling racism have anything to do with mathematics?
They're making it have to do so that teachers can come up with at least two answers that might solve the problem. So I don't know how you take four, 2 + 2 and make 4, and then come up with another answer that would solve the problem. But it says that they should challenge standardized test questions by justifying other answers by unpacking the assumptions that are made in the problem. I mean, this is such gobbledygook. They also say that there was a part of this that just drives me crazy. And educators need to identify and challenge the ways that math is used to uphold capitalist, imperialist, and racist views. This is what our math teachers should be doing. They should be telling children that by them doing math and getting the right answer, they are upholding capitalist, imperialist, and racist views. Where are we going in this country? Are you crazy? Because think of everything that you use math for.
You know, again, I see the twisted logic of this. No, wait a minute. No, I'm going to connect the dots here. Okay. Dr. Ron's going to connect the dots. Everything that you said, Linda, just think for a minute. Okay. You know, you use Facebook. I use Facebook. Probably almost everybody uses Facebook. Look at what's going on with the cancel culture on Facebook, where you post something that is fairly objective, and then all of a sudden your post gets a cancel culture notice on it that says that fact checkers have determined, that your post is false. And you might have 20 separate facts in your post, and one fact might be off. And because the one fact is off, they cancel 19 of your facts and your posts, or maybe it's partially right. Okay. But because there is a second answer, there's an alternative answer, which is their answer that it's false. Their answer now counts and cancels out your entire post. I totally get this.
No, this I beg to differ, because in mathematics, there is an answer, and the answer is the answer. And to say that finding that answer means that you are racist is absolutely a terrible thing to teach children.
Well, wait a minute. I want to make sure I don't go over your head on this. Okay, because I'm agreeing with every single thing that you say, Linda. I am telling you that in their twisted logic, and to me, knowing where they're going, knowing what the strategy is to cancel out truth, right? To cancel out objective facts, to provide alternate answers, what that does is supports their false narratives.
Well, I feel extremely badly for these children when they go to balance their checkbook, or they go to buy groceries, or they go to receive change, or they go to buy a house. They're going to be in a world of hurt.
Look at the trigger words that they use. When you support the logic of an objective fact that 2 + 2 = 4, they don't like that. And so you're labeled a trigger word, you're labeled as a white supremacist, and you're labeled as a racist. Those are intimidation trigger words to get you to back down, because who wants to be called a racist?
Exactly.
Who wants to be called a
but
white supremacist?
What it means for these people who know nothing about what they're saying is that many of our best mathematicians ever in America have been people of color.
Oh, that's absolutely a fact. Absolutely a fact. You know, and it's interesting because we're talking about Black History Month, and, you know, we talk about the Manhattan Project, and we're talking about women of color, Black women who were the famous mathematicians that really assisted in the creation of the atomic bomb then.
Absolutely.
And I mean,
and our space program and all of those things. So what they're saying is patently wrong, and it's the wrong way to teach children. What they should be doing is pointing out the achievements of people of color in mathematics and letting those children reach their potentials. And on that note,
wait a minute, I want to say something really funny, and I want to give my note in there. We need to push back. We need to identify those people that are bringing out this new theory and this new methodology for mathematics. They need to be called out. And on that note, we'll see you on the radio.